I'm sure you must be watching the political developments in Rajasthan very closely. Chief Minister Ashok Gehlot seems to have made it quite personal. He wouldn't allow Sachin Pilot to succeed him as the Chief Minister, come what may. I guess you may want me to talk about what's happening in Rajasthan today. But you have to excuse me this time. I and my colleagues Neelam Pandey and Abhishek Day, who is on the ground in Jaipur, will talk about the Rajasthan Congress crisis in our new episode, Political Adda. That will be tomorrow. In Politically Correct today, let me talk about some interesting developments in West Bengal. You know, last Monday, the Bengal Assembly passed a resolution against central investigation agencies for what it said, selectively targeting leaders of the ruling Trinamool Congress and creating an atmosphere of fear. It's probably the first time that any state assembly has passed such a resolution. Anyway, this does not seem to have done much to bolster the confidence of TMC leaders and ministers. You know, prospects of life in jail and inconvenience to their families seem to be weighing heavily on the minds of many of these TMC leaders. So, a day after the resolution was passed, a minister, a powerful one in fact, a powerful minister was interacting with a group of journalists and party colleagues in the assembly premises. So, someone asked him if there was any proposal to convert Kolkata's Presidency Correctional Home into a museum. You know, the context was that, you know, because Mamata Banerjee was going to inaugurate a museum at Alipur Jail the next day. So, in that context, people were talking. So, the minister who is being investigated by the CBI in a corruption case, he said, no, there was no such proposal. I'm not going to, not I basically, we are not going to convert Presidency Jail into a museum. And then he said, I'm quoting him, no, this Presidency Jail is near my place, his residence. If they, that is CBI, if they arrest me, it would be convenient for my wife to visit me, he said, half in jest, half in earnest, as I look at it. One can't really vouch for the minister's innocence or guilt in the corruption case. But his apprehensions about being arrested might not be unfounded, going by the record of the central investigation agencies, as we have seen. The ED, CBI and IT, I mean, they are buzzwords in Bengal political circles nowadays. With these agencies, you know, becoming super active in the state where the BJP has high stakes. Mamata Banerjee's clinch it to Prime Minister Narendra Modi on the alleged misuse of agencies has therefore evoked a lot of curiosity in Bengal and outside also. She said in the assembly last week that businessmen are leaving the country out of fear and misuse of the ED and the CBI. Then she said, and I quote her here, I believe Modi has not done it. Many of you don't know that the CBI does not report to the PMO. It reports to the Home Ministry. Some BJP leaders are conspiring. I mean, that's what Mamata Banerjee said in the assembly. Basically, and that's how it was interpreted, that, you know, she was giving a clean chit to Modi, that it's not Modi who is doing it, it's somebody else in the BJP. She said that, you know, the CBI does not report to the PMO anymore. The fact is that the CBI still reports to the Prime Minister. You know, this agency comes under the Ministry of Personnel, Public Grievances and Pensions. And that's the portfolio held by the Prime Minister. So, there is no question of the CBI reporting to somebody else or some other ministry. I think Banerjee was just taking pot shots at Home Minister Amit Shah. Earlier this month, emerging out of the ED office after 6 hours of questioning in that coal scam case, her nephew Abhishek, I mean, he had said, just because I attacked Amit Shah's son over the national flag issue, I cannot be threatened by ED or CBI. Now, the ED is under the administrative control of the Department of Revenue, that is under the Ministry of Finance. It's nobody's case that, you know, Jitendra Singh, who is a Minister of State in the Ministry of Personnel, runs the CBI, or that Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman runs the ED. I mean, technicalities aside, there is also no point debating the public perception about Amit Shah's writ running in the government. But to suggest that anyone at the center can do anything without PM Modi's approval is, I would say, erroneous. So why did Mamata Banerjee give a clean chit to Modi? Politicians and analysts in Bengal and outside, I mean, they have been offering broadly two explanations. First is that, you know, she, her family and her party colleagues are so much under pressure from the ED and the CBI that she is trying to buy peace with the PM. This explanation, however, does not really gel with what people have seen of Mamata Banerjee in the last 5 decades of her political career. She has been a ferocious fighter. She fought against the then left front government on the streets of West Bengal, and many of you must remember, taking on cops and comrades alike, frequently sustaining injuries, including one on the head that had kept her in the hospital for weeks. She wouldn't flinch from taking on the powers that be. In 1993, if you recall, she publicly threatened to resign as the Union Sports Minister because then PM Narasimha Rao had apparently not heeded to her ideas to improve sports in India. I mean, that's what she said. 3 years later, in 96, she threatened to commit suicide because the Congress had fielded 4 tainted faces in the election, which she didn't like. And then again, you see, between 2004 and 2009, she was the only Trinamool MP in the Lok Sabha, and the left contingent had 60 MPs. So with 60 MPs constantly hooting her every time she got up to speak or intervene in the debate, any other politician would have wilted. And I would be sitting in the, you know, the press gallery of the Lok Sabha and looking at the proceedings down there, and the way the left MPs hooted her. Sometimes you even sympathized with her that, you know, she's alone and all these people are after her. Anyway, so why I'm recalling all these past incidents to, you know, just to show that she is a fighter. Therefore, to suggest that Banerjee is scared of central investigation agencies and seeking to buy peace with the Modi is, in my opinion, as naive as to talk about Shah doing anything without Modi's permission. Also, such an explanation seems to assume that Banerjee and Modi are such simpletons that one says a few good words in praise of the other and Modi would just melt. I mean, that doesn't happen. But that's about the first explanation. The second explanation politicians and political pundits have been offering is that, you know, explanation for the clean chit to Modi is her perceived attempt to drive a wedge between Modi and Shah, that she is trying to make the two fight. Again, that amounts to treating Banerjee as a political nitwit. She is definitely not one. There was a time when opposition politicians went soft on Atal Bihari Vajpayee and targeted Advani. I mean, we all remember. That was because differences between those two, between the two of them, were out in the open. And their political adversaries found it convenient to fish in troubled waters. Besides, with the, you know, Vajpayee attaining that statesman's image, the opposition found it found in Advani, you know, he was a Hindutva hardliner. So opposition found in him a more vulnerable target, in fact. Of course, the irony today is that, you know, the same Advani evokes empathy and sympathy in the opposition camp after PM Modi has delegated his former mentor to the Margdarshak Mandal, I mean, forcing him into virtual political retirement. Mamata Banerjee knows better than anyone that driving a wedge between Modi and Shah is a futile exercise. I mean, it doesn't happen like that. If at all it happens anytime in future, if at all, mind me, it happens anytime in future, it won't be because some opposition politician has triggered it. As it is, Banerjee's clinch it to Modi may in fact signal a shift in her political strategy. So I am basically discounting the two explanations I just spoke about. In my opinion, what she has said, her clinch it to Modi, that he is not the one who has put central agencies after the Trinamool Congress. So the reason she is saying this, in fact the reason for this is, she is probably trying to bring a shift in her political strategy, to change her political strategy. You know, Rahul Gandhi may still believe that politics is a battle of ideologies, and so Chaukidar Chor Hai is a battle cry he must stick to, no matter how much it backfires in elections. But politicians who are more focused on electoral victories have started recalibrating their strategies. They have realized that deriding Modi or attacking him personally doesn't really bring electoral dividends. His personality cult is too strong to be demolished with mere jibes and unproven allegations. I don't know how many of you watched PM Modi releasing cheetah in Kuno National Park last week. I was listening to his speech. He asked the people to, you know, stand up, raise hands and clap in honor of cheetah. In Hindi, as he said, like, aap cheetah ke samman mein khade ho jaiye. Then he said, ab haath uthaiye. And then he said, ab taali bajaiye. So stand up, raise your hands and clap, cheetah ke samman mein, in honor of cheetah. And it was amazing. I mean, the crowd happily followed his instructions. 2 years ago, you know, he had asked people to turn off the lights, clap and clang utensils to fight against coronavirus. Well, they all did. After demonetization of high value notes, he asked the country to give him 50 days and said, you know, that if they still found any shortcomings in his action, he was ready for any punishment they gave him. The demonetization failed in its objectives, but voters' trust in him did not. What I am trying to drive home here is the fact that most opposition leaders except Rahul Gandhi have come to accept the reality that attacking Modi does not bring votes, and so they have all made their adjustments. Let me give you some examples. So Odisha CM Naveen Patnaik might have faced intense heat from the BJP in the run up to the 2019 Assembly and Lok Sabha polls, but he focused on his own government's work in the election campaign. He won the Assembly election convincingly and managed to contain the BJP's upsurge in the Lok Sabha elections too. You know, the BJP secured 8 of the 21 seats in Odisha, but Patnaik's party, the BJP, BJD, could have done much worse. His strategy really worked in his favour. And over the last 3 years, we have seen the BJP has been in fact losing ground in Odisha, even though Patnaik has been refraining from attacking PM Modi. Then let me give you another example, Stalin, Tamil Nadu Chief Minister. If you notice, he also draws a fine distinction. You know, attacking the centre and central government's policies, but not Modi. Why is Jagan Mohan Reddy of Andhra Pradesh? He focuses on his own government's welfare schemes, keeping quiet about Modi and even about the central government. I mean, this has worked for both these parties, DMK and YSRCP. In fact, in both Lok Sabha and Assembly elections. One may argue that, you know, you're talking about Telangana, Andhra. I mean, you may argue that Modi magic does not work in southern states that much, although we'll see what happens in Telangana next year. But anyway, general perception is his magic does not work that much in southern states. I mean, that may be true, but there is no denying his appeal even in South India. And that's where somebody like Jagan Mohan Reddy and Stalin, I mean, they have done better showcasing their own visions for their state, for their states, instead of attacking Modi, calling him names, you know, calling him chor, whatsoever. You know, let me give you another example. Let me talk about the Aam Aadmi Party here. You know, in the run up to the 2019 Lok Sabha election, Arvind Kejriwal had made blistering attacks on Modi, calling him class 12 pass and talking about corruption in the Rafale fighter jet deal. But after the BJP swept all Lok Sabha seats in Delhi, Kejriwal changed his strategy. I mean, he started refraining from any direct attack on the PM and focusing on his own government's achievements. It worked for the Aam Aadmi Party in the 2020 Assembly election. If Kejriwal has gone back to Modi bashing again, it's because his main target now is the Congress. He has to emerge as the principal challenger to Modi at the center in the 2024 Lok Sabha election, so that he could set the stage for the 2029 contest when Modi would have hung up his boots and the voters would be looking for an alternative. I am talking about the 2029 election. So, he is setting things up for 2029. It is not like Rahul is the only challenger. He has to emerge as the real challenger nationally, and that is why you find him very combative when attacking the PM again. But his objectives are different here. So, it is different from what Stalin has or Jagan Mohan Reddy has or Patnaik has. Mamata Banerjee, like Kejriwal, you know, she also went ballistic against Modi in the run up to the 2019 Lok Sabha election, only to see her tally come down to 22 from 34 Lok Sabha seats and BJP's tally going up to 18 from 2. In the 2021 assembly election, the TMC therefore shifted its strategy in a very nuanced way, you know, focusing on Mamata Banerjee and her governance and not on Modi. It was in fact Modi who made the mistake of launching personal attacks on Banerjee. It did not really work. The TMC won a brute majority, but Mamata Banerjee knows that the BJP did not do badly because it secured 38% votes and 77 seats. So, even if there is a huge gap in the number of seats that the TMC won and the BJP won, I mean, it is not that BJP was a flop show. I mean, getting 38% votes is quite a thing in West Bengal. After the Bengal polls, as you know, politicians and political commentators started projecting Banerjee as, you know, Modi challenger nationally. So, when this started happening, she went back to Modi bashing. That was after the assembly election. Her party's failure in Goa, however, seems to have played a sort of a dampener in her national plan. In fact, AAP's victory in Punjab and seeming surge in Gujarat also seems to have kind of played that dampener when it comes to Banerjee's national ambition. It has forced her to do a rethink about her strategy now. You know, next Lok Sabha election is 20 months away, and how she has to go about it. It seems, it's my personal view, that she has probably understood, or she also has probably understood, that attacking Modi may not bring her any extra votes. You know, his persona has come to transcend any party or ideology. All Modi voters aren't necessarily BJP and RSS loyalists. Every Modi fan is not a Hindutva follower. And everybody who goes to Shakha is not a BJP voter, in fact. And that many politicians have come to understand. You know, it's not my view. This is something I hear from many senior opposition leaders. It's therefore politically wiser to keep channels open with those Modi voters who aren't politically or ideologically committed to the BJP. It's in this context that we have to look at Mamata's so-called clean chit to Modi. And it is in this context only that you should also look at her comment or interpret her comment that everybody in the RSS is not bad. That's all from me in this episode of Politically Correct. Thanks for watching.